What a great idea to do one each Sunday. I didn't realize how long it would take. I started way before Christmas. So anyways, can you switch the feed, please? We are busy with a series on the prototype disciple. Oh, I need to get out and in again. On the prototype disciple, which a lot of New Testament scholars would designate Peter to be. I've got some problems with this thing, I think. Designate Peter to be. So in a lot of New Testament articles, you would read about the prototype disciple as Peter. Now, we started off the series, I need to get out and in again. Let's see. Exit. And now if I turn it around, it's going to... This white cable of mine that's at the end of its life. We've got it. Hopefully I'm not going to touch anything. Okay, so we started off with the first sermon, abandoning the boat. There was nothing wrong with the boat, and we looked into why Peter wanted to get off the boat. The next time, the next sermon, I think it was the very next week, we looked into Peter being back into his old habits after he betrayed Jesus, going back to his roots, and how we sometimes do that when we feel that life have taken a turn for the worse, and then sometimes we just go back to our old ways, but then Jesus will still come and find us in those old ways. After that, we looked into what's in a name, about Jesus reaffirming Peter's identity even after he denied Jesus, and looking into the fact that there's nothing that we can do that will make us lose our identity in Christ. Then we got to 2 weeks back, how prototypes sometimes fail, about Jesus asking Peter 3 times, do you love me? Unconditionally. And then Peter replied every time, yes, I do love you, but somewhat conditionally. And in the end, Jesus was satisfied with that honest declaration of Peter's love. And we looked into the fact that that is what every disciple needs to have, an undying love for Jesus. Today, we're going to get into the last installment, asking the question, was there no better candidate than Peter to be the prototype disciple? How did it end up with Peter being the prototype of the disciples? Now, working on the series, that question popped up a few times. Like, the series is called The Prototype Disciple, but Peter did a lot of stupid things. Why would he be the prototype? Was there not a better guy that would have served the purpose of being the prototype? Because the prototype, we are trying to model our lives to the life of the prototype disciple. We want to be the disciple that Peter is. So how did it happen that Peter became the leader amongst the disciples? How did it happen that Peter was the guy who got left in charge of Jesus' legacy, the church? Was there no one else that could fill those shoes? Because Peter did a lot of stupid things. And he almost broke the church. He almost split the church in the middle into Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Single-handedly, Peter almost destroyed Jesus' legacy. He alone was the reason that the church called its first major meeting. Call it the General Assembly, if you wish. Just 15 to 18 years after Jesus' ascension into heaven, Peter was the only reason for the first church conference to be called. Now, we're going to take our scripture reading in a while from Galatians, from the second chapter, verses 1 to 2, 6 to 9, and then 11 to 14, looking into what happened, how this happened. Now, this incident that happened is called the Antioch incident. So, New Testament scholars designated this the Antioch incident. So anytime any New Testament scholar would in an article reference this, or in a talk, or in a classroom, when he would reference the Antioch incident, everybody would go, ooh, the Antioch incident. This is the major argument in the new church, in the early church that we read of in the Bible. And in the Galatians account, we see what happened, because Paul writes the church in Galatia telling them, this is what happened. And then after this incident in the city of Antioch, this great big church conference was called together to deliberate this incident that happened and to see how they can prevent the church from splitting. Because this is what was on the cards after this incident happening in Antioch. So in the letter to the Galatians, Paul writes about this, and he doesn't pull any punches. He calls out Peter for being the instigator of this great big problem in no uncertain terms. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation, and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. So, as for those who were held in high esteem, they added nothing to my message. Now, this is the leaders of the Jerusalem church, the disciples. Paul went to the Gentiles with some of his co-workers, Titus and Barnabas, and most of the original disciples, almost at 12, 11, stayed in Jerusalem, and they spread the gospel amongst the Jews, telling them, you know the Messiah that you've been waiting for? It's Jesus. Paul went to the Gentiles, telling them, hey, there's a Savior. His name is Jesus. So he didn't go through the whole Messiah thing, the Jewish background. He just presented them with Jesus. So Paul went to Jerusalem and spoke to the leaders of the church and said, listen, this is the gospel that I'm proclaiming, the gospel that I'm teaching to the people, to the Gentiles. And they said, oh, what a cool gospel. There's nothing we can add. Good on you, Paul. On the contrary, verse 7, on the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. Now, in the early church, there's two church leaders. The leader in the Jewish Christian church was Peter, and the leader in the Gentile Christian church was Paul. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John. Cephas is Peter. It's just his Aramaic name, which is quite close to Hebrew. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So when Cephas came to Antioch, from verse 11, at a later stage now, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Now, this is what happened. Peter came to visit the church in Antioch, which is a church made up of new believers, new Christians. They never had a Jewish background. They became Christians. They put their trust in Jesus. They formed a church. And then Peter, the big owner from the church in Jerusalem, came for a visit. And he ate with them. He worshipped with them. Everything was just fine. Then some other guys from the Jerusalem church also came for a visit. Peter probably wrote them and said, hey, come check this church out. It's a nice church. You've got to see this. And when they came, Peter stopped eating with them. He stopped worshipping with them. He started upholding the Jewish customs and holiness laws again, which the Gentile church never did. So when these other Jewish Christians came, Peter all of a sudden said, oh, I cannot eat with you anymore. Do you have any kosher food? I need to wash my hands before I eat in this particular way. I need to do this before worship. And they started feeling a bit awkward, saying, hey, but hold on, Peter. This wasn't a problem 2 days back or a week back when these guys weren't here. Why is it a problem now? Why are you being a hypocrite? And this incident almost split the church. Because then they went back to Jerusalem, and then Paul and his co-workers went to Jerusalem, and they had to deliberate this. And they almost split the church in two churches, the Jewish church and the Gentile Christian church. Because of this incident. This is the incident and how it played out. Now my question is this. How did it happen that this is the guy that was left in charge of the church of Jesus? And then he goes on and does this very divisive thing. To such a big extent that the first big church conference have to be called as a consequence to just put out the flames, because there is a split down to happen. How did it happen that the same guy that was left in charge of the church did this thing? Or did Jesus choose the wrong guy for this job? If he's splitting the church instead of building the church. How did it happen that the same guy that's almost splitting up the church is considered to be the prototype disciple? Was there no one else to lead the church without splitting it? Was there no one else that would have made a better leader of the disciples and a better prototype for us to try and imitate? Because if we are trying to imitate this prototype, it means we should try our best to split churches. And come to think of it, Peter did quite a lot of stupid things throughout the Gospels. Quite a few. And we've spent some time on some of them during this series. He did this very impulsive thing of jumping out of a perfectly good boat in a storm. Trying to do the unnatural. He got out of a boat into stormy waters to try and walk on the water. Without thinking it through. Very impulsively. And it does seem quite ridiculous. We know he actually did get it right for a while. But he just got out of a perfectly good boat that wasn't taking on water. Impulsively just got out and jumped into the water. Not the wisest thing to do. A very impulsive thing to do. And in a lot of the accounts that we get of Peter in the Gospels, we see that he's a very impulsive guy. Is that the best choice for the leader of the church? For the leader amongst the disciples? I don't know. Jesus told his disciples for weeks that he was going to suffer and die on the cross. He taught them that it is the will of his Father that he need to die for the salvation of others. And Peter was one of the first guys that grasped the idea. But then, when it is bound to happen, then he goes on and cut off somebody's ear. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? So when Peter did this, what did Jesus do? Oh, why, thank you, Peter. No, he didn't. He rebuked him. Should I not do what my Father wants me to do? And you are preventing this. So Jesus wasn't happy when Peter did this. Do you remember the rooster episode? When the rooster crowed, what did Peter do? This is probably the biggest flaw that most people would remember him for. The one that people go, ah, Peter. When we think of this, Peter denying Jesus 3 times, a lot of us might think that, you know what, I wouldn't have done that. If I've committed my life to Jesus and followed him everywhere for 3 years, leaving everything behind, man, have been prepared to die for him. I wouldn't have denied him. And this is the biggest flaw that we remember Peter for. Not a wise thing to do. Not something that you would want to put on your resume. I denied Jesus 3 times. This is Peter, the prototype disciple. And then there was the time when Peter actually tried to prevent Jesus from fulfilling his purpose on earth. When Peter threatened to prevent Jesus from dying on the cross. And then Jesus called him Satan. Let's read this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside, and then Peter began to rebuke him. Peter began to rebuke Jesus. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Now, a lot of times we miss that Peter rebuked Jesus. We just get stuck on the Jesus calling him Satan. Oh. Jesus called the prototype disciple Satan. Jesus called the prototype disciple a stumbling block for him. How did this guy end up to be the prototype? How did he end up to be the leader amongst the disciples? And then we spend 2 days, 2 Sundays on John chapter 21 about Jesus on the beach and the disciples in the boat.